Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome back to Fun's League for Beginners. I'm sure you know the drill by now. You understand what the show's all about. I'm Jamie Smith. Same crew as always. Jim, John and Kev are with me for this one. Busy show as always, getting through all the weekend action. We're going to start with the last game of the weekend. Schalke v Bayer Leverkusen. Kev, I only had half an eye on this game, but since, as we've discussed on many, many podcasts, Schalke are absolutely terrible. So Bayer Leverkusen won this, what, 6-0, 7-0?
You'd be forgiven for assuming that. Fortunately, as I prophesied in our last episode, was a little worried about this potentially being a trap game. Kind of ends up being one, just saved by the skin of Mönchengladbach not beating Munich. So that ended up kind of saving. But yeah, as for this particular match, it ends up being a 1-1 draw. A lot of controversy. We'll just leap to the controversial moment and then talk about the actual football surrounding it. But so there's a penalty call that came off the fact that Tapsoba's arm hit the ball, but the attacking player kicked the arm into the ball, and then whether or not that should count as handball. Now, as people are probably aware, the new handball rule, as per FIFA, is that if it touches a hand, regardless of intent, in the box, it's a penalty. Yeah. So I saw a lot of people saying that that's not a penalty, and it like literally is, as infuriating as that rule can be.
Everyone's forgotten because everyone was having these arguments months ago, and they've forgotten that the rule is still the same. I mean, most people probably think the rule needs tweaking a bit.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't really seem fair, but rules is rules.
Rules is rules, Jamie. That's a fantastic point. So that was really the big sparking point. Then tensions were kind of bubbling throughout the remainder of the match, which led to the very incendiary moment where Alario tried to score on a pass back after an injury. That did not go over well. I think we'll probably talk about the Augsburg hug later. There was also a bunch of shirt grabbings and mild fisticuffs, which probably also not great for the COVID protocols. But those two moments aside, I actually thought play was somewhat level. There was definitely a period where Leverkusen looked like they would be able to get the equalizer and come back and win. Didn't happen. But Schalke started the better team for the first 20 minutes or so, which is very painful to say, especially since they don't have three strikers and Salif Sané is out for the rest of the season. So, you know, as we had talked about, this was going to be one where you assume that you win, and I think that's what happened, and then they ended up not. The chance creation just wasn't good enough throughout most of the match. I don't like Diaby nearly as much on the right as I do on the left. Alario, we're actually talking about how I was pretty impressed by Alario thus far, and on the last show, John said, yeah, but he's probably not good enough to kind of lead the line for a club like Leverkusen long-term, and I think we kind of saw that today as well. Pretty disappointing on the whole, despite the return of Kai Havertz, who did have a pretty good chance that he set up in the first half, but was a little quiet, maybe just trying to get the legs back after a minor injury. But on the whole, yeah, pretty disappointing to draw. Still in fourth, but that's probably just because everybody tends to lose to Bayern Munich when they play them, which is the great equalizer in this league, it seems, where obviously Leverkusen lost to Bayern, and then that benefited Mönchengladbach, and then Leverkusen dropped points, but then Mönchengladbach also lose to Bayern. So the top of the table still relatively unchanged in terms of the chase for the top four. Obviously Leipzig win their match. Dortmund almost looked like they might get pulled back into it, but then they scored at the death, which I'm sure we're going to talk about. But yeah, on the whole, pretty disappointing performance. Schalke probably deserved the point regardless of people's view of the penalty. This is probably the best match that I've seen them play since the restart. Just unfortunate that it happened against us today. And interesting that it happened with a lot of younger players on, because somebody on Twitter, no idea if they're trustworthy or not, couldn't even tell you who it was in hindsight, was just saying that with Schalke basically safe, I'm not sure if it's mathematic yet, but it's close. They were just able to play a lot more young players, and I thought that brought a level of enthusiasm that perhaps they had been lacking in previous matches. So credit to them. Disappointing for Leverkusen, but probably not too unfair a result in balance.
Yeah, and it could have been much worse, but for a really big save right at the end.
Oh, Radecki, yeah.
Almost stole it, yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy. John, much tighter this game than most people probably would have expected with the way the form's been going. Schalke have been so bad. It could be that this proves to be a real missed opportunity for Bayer Leverkusen. Looking at the table, it's so close. Dropping a couple of points here might be what makes the difference at the end of the season.
Yeah, for sure. I thought this was an interesting game because I feel as though stylistically, Schalke versus Leverkusen is the sort of game where it plays to Schalke's strengths. Leverkusen are a team who do like build up and possession, and they do like to try and manipulate space. But Schalke are quite a high pressing team. We know all about David Wagner's time in England, and particularly when he was at Huddersfield in the Championship, his team were quite ruthless at pressing. And I think as a result of that, they just managed to disrupt Leverkusen's build-up play quite a bit. But the problem with Schalke has been perennially this season that they just don't create enough chances. And it was the same again. Looking at the shots, there was only three shots on target for each team. And for Schalke, the third one, obviously, as you said, came in well into injury time. So I think that's really the issue here for Schalke, is that yes, they're a well-drilled team, they are fairly well structured, and they are very good at pressing, but they just don't have anyone with the amount of creativity that they need to be able to really profit from those things. So this could be a situation for Leverkusen where they do end up losing out in the long run in Champions League terms. But Schalke really should be up there as well. So it's easy to talk about Leverkusen losing out, but I think everyone knows really that Schalke have had a huge amount of money put into their club, and I think it's disappointing for both of them if Gladbach actually pull through into the fourth space.
Yeah, I just wanted to pop in with one more thought on this, which was Paulinho, who I had mentioned previously I was really interested in seeing. But any chance of a winning goal was basically given away by Paulinho, despite him being the one that, air quotes, scored the equalizer, because it actually ended up being an own goal. But his distribution in the last five-ish minutes, as soon as it hit stoppage time, of which there was 6 minutes, he missed maybe four or five crosses or long balls that really could have opened things up, even been direct chances or led to them. And yeah, I was just really surprised that in that moment he just absolutely crumbled and the technique seemed to go straight out the window, which was really disappointing. In fact, gave the ball away for that last minute chance that Hradecki had to save. So yeah, was surprised and a little disappointed in him today.
And just briefly, Jim, to bring you in before we move on, from a Schalke point of view, this is probably going to hopefully be a turning point for them. They've been so poor before and since the break, but they're not completely out of the Europa League race. So if they can finish strongly, there's still a chance that they can salvage what's been quite a disappointing season overall.
Yeah, it does seem admittedly quite unlikely that they'll reel in someone like Wolfsburg, who are up in sixth, but it's possible, I guess. Like, if they finished three wins on the spin, they could be in that mix, especially if those teams playing each other around the Europa League spot. I know Mönchengladbach have got Wolfsburg in the week, so again, that's a chance that one of their rivals for that spot could drop points. Hopefully do, from my perspective anyway. But I think today, like, the thing that I took from it, and I did see a lot of the game, was that I think Schalke just... I guess from a fan's perspective, you'd be a lot happier if you knew that at least Schalke were blooding young players. And I think with so many players missing that were the more established parts of the team, at least they put a performance out there today that I think their fans would be happy with. Like, okay, they didn't win the game necessarily, but they were underdogs going into it. And there's quite an inexperienced young group of players there that, for the most part, you know, held themselves really well and could have, you know, could have held out at the end. Like, Leverkusen were pressing, but I think once Schalke had got the goal just after half time, they did kind of retreat back a little bit and they were just trying to soak up some pressure. But yeah, were it not for a fantastic save at the end, they could have snatched all 3 points, which would have been an amazing result. And I think the key for Wagner now, you know, I don't know whether his fate is already decided based on their performances since the resumption, but if he is to come out of this season with a decent amount of credit, I think showing the youngsters in a good light and letting them kind of demonstrate that they're the future of the club, and chopping and changing the manager when you've got a squad like that that's made up of quite young players might not be the wisest thing to do in terms of continuity in their development. So perhaps that'll be the saving grace for him this season, kind of bringing in those players and letting them demonstrate that they're going to be the future of the club and that he should be the one to kind of guide them through next season and beyond.
It does always make a difference as well, doesn't it? If you finish a season strongly, even if it's just like a couple of wins at the end, everyone is just in a much better mood.
Yeah.
And poor form has a tendency to spill over into the following campaign. So they'll certainly want to get that win. Was it 12, 13 games without a win now? They'll certainly want to end that run. I think we were saying last week or maybe the week before that seventh place could go into Europe as well, similar to the Premier League. If Bayern win the Cup, that place then goes into the league. So seventh could be the Europa League spot that people are aiming for as well. We'll move on from that game now, though. Want to talk about the bottom of the league. I think we've probably neglected it a little bit on the show at times. Hmm. Really, really big weekend at the bottom. Some really, really important results. Kev, it looks like Paderborn are finally gone, though. 5-1 defeat at home to Werder Bremen. Which does their own hopes of survival the power of God. They're now level with Fortuna Düsseldorf, so really tighten things up there, but at the expense of Paderborn, who we've not really mentioned on the show, don't really know anything about, and now don't have to because they're not in the Bundesliga.
Fantastic point. Yeah, I think I saw one match of theirs. Maybe they played Bayern? Maybe.
Maybe.
But yeah, obviously, you know, 8 points off with three matches left. I mean, oh yeah, three teams then, John? I don't actually know. Two go actually down and then one to the playoff?
Two teams to go down and one to go into the playoff.
Yeah, cool. So I guess the best they could do would be that playoff if they won literally every remaining game. And
they've won four games all season, so that's
so we're not thinking three out of three is particularly likely. Fair enough. Yeah, so it definitely looks like they're going to be cut adrift. The rest of it looks really interesting, though. Although, as you said, Jamie, in the chat today, Augsburg winning probably pulls them out of it, and I assume we'll touch on them in a second. So it does look like it's just this kind of cluster of Mainz, Düsseldorf, and Werder Bremen, who aren't Wolfsburg, who are all in contention for having to either go down or get into that playoff fight. Pretty impressive for Union Berlin, by the way, who I've seen a couple of times and wasn't particularly impressed by. And on 35 points, I think everybody in that 35 and 38 group is probably safe now, barring a tremendous collapse here at the end. But yeah, Paderborn, as you say, probably not.
Yeah, I think it was a weekend that really sort of clarified the picture down at the bottom. Like you say, Union got the result that probably makes them safe, although not quite mathematically yet. The one interesting thing I've got to say about Paderborn is a guy whose name I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce broke the record for most bookings in a Bundesliga season.
I think
17 yellows in 29 games or something, which is absolutely incredible.
Especially considering the yellows bring suspensions.
Exactly.
So you have less matches to do it in inherently.
Yeah. He's almost been booked every time he's gone onto the pitch, so I've got a feeling the last few games he's probably just been trying to get booked to keep his run, but yeah, fair play to him. As we already said, Union won away at Köln, so that's lifted them to the same number of points, 35. And the other big result down at the bottom was Fortuna Düsseldorf, who played Dortmund. And John, this was heartbreaking for Düsseldorf because they'd had so many chances, hit the woodwork twice near the end, and then got done at the end by an Erling Haaland header.
Yeah, I didn't actually watch this game, I'll be honest, but it was tragic when that goal came in right at the end. It came up as a flash a notation for me, a push notation on my phone, and I couldn't even believe the game was still going on. But really horrible way to go out. And it's been the story of Dusseldorf's season, really, I think, conceding really late goals, doing really, really sterling work, keeping the opposition out, and then just a lapse of concentration at the end. So real shame for them, and puts them right back into that relegation mix as well, because I think it's now going to be a question of who gets more points out of Werder Bremen and Dusseldorf as to who's going to finish in that playoff spot and maybe have a chance of getting out. I think that's where it's going to be. I don't think that Mainz will drop that far down. I can't see either. Well, Werder Bremen have got obviously Bayern to play, but they have got games against Köln and Union, I think. So there is still a chance that they could just climb straight out and go above Mainz. But I personally think it's going to be between Werder and Dusseldorf.
Werder are in the best form, aren't they, of the teams down at the bottom? So you'd think if anyone's going to get out and avoid the playoff altogether, it would probably be them. From a Dortmund point of view, though, Jim, after a few games where he's been injured and then finding his way back to full fitness, proof that Erling Haaland is just a big game player that delivers for the key moments.
Yeah, you can't get much. Well, I suppose the context of the game could have been a bit bigger, but in terms of the last gasp nature of the goal, he certainly came up trumps when it mattered. Yeah, it was gutting. I didn't see the whole game, but even the highlights kind of showed that Dortmund can, I think, consider themselves not to be a goal down at the point at which they scored the winner. And I think it's just, it is heartbreaking when you see a team like that. Like, that could literally swing an entire season for Fortuna, because of the fact that they would started to pick up a few points after the resumption and are on the cusp of that, as you said, that playoff spot. But they're still trailing Mainz by 3 points, and they're running out of games to kind of climb out of it. And even a 0-0 draw would have been such an unexpected point that you almost feel like the morale boost that would have given them is worth another point in itself going into that final three games, because holding the team that were, you know, very, very live title contenders until a couple of weeks ago to a 0-0 draw would have been such a boost for them. And yeah, just to see it slip away at the very end, I'm sure all of us have seen our respective teams lose in that fashion a few times, and it's just the most gut-wrenching, heartbreaking thing to happen. So yeah, I think everyone kind of felt for them, because it's just such a familiar gut punch at that stage, which is so frustrating.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, it didn't actually make any difference to the table as it stands, because they'd have been in the same position, but a little bit close to Mainz,
yeah,
a little bit of a cushion from Werder, and I think you're right, the sort of morale boost that it would have given them, because so few teams have held Dortmund.
The damage that this will probably have.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to be so hard for them to come back from that. And they're away to Leipzig in midweek, which isn't the easiest game. Leipzig still trying to make sure of their Champions League qualification. So, really, really tough one for them. So while it was last gasp in that game, it was first gasp. Is that a thing?
Sure.
I did that thing like in the office where you start the sentence and just hope that you pick it up.
It'll come. If I just keep talking and putting words together.
In your defense of the concept of linear time, there would inherently be a first and last gasp. So I think you're fine.
Exactly. So first gasp in the game between Mainz and Augsburg, which looked like a classic relegation six-pointer. Augsburg scored so early, I hadn't even put the game on yet. So a 1-0 win, and I missed the goal because it was after 40 seconds or something. So having slagged off Florian Niederlechner for weeks and weeks on end, he scored a goal when I wasn't even watching.
Are you considering just not putting the games on from now on? Because it does seem like there's a few times this season where you've put the game on after Augsburg have scored, and then when you've watched the game, they've done literally nothing. So you might be better on as well.
There was another where I hadn't been watching it, and after about 20 minutes, put it on, and Hertha scored straight away.
So it's
completely possible that I am the jinx, and Niederlechner's actually brilliant. But all the evidence I've seen so far suggests that's not the case.
Brilliant finish too, mishitting it straight into the ground so that it bounces over the goalkeeper. It's calculated,
absolutely deliberate. works out the angles and everything. So as Kev mentioned earlier, that lifts Eisberg up to 35 points, same as Union and Köln. So yeah, you'd say those teams probably safe, barring some miraculous results from other teams, but still plenty to play for at the bottom of the league. It looks like that's where the drama might be over the last couple of weeks of the season. We've got another English round coming up in midweek. Werder at home to Bayern. That's a game that we're going to touch on later because Bayern can win the league in that one. And Union are at home to Paderborn. So you'd think that they'd get the result that they need to make absolutely certain there. But we'll leave the relegation race behind for now. One of the other key battlegrounds over the closing weeks, John, is going to be the race for Europe, not just Champions League, Europa League. And your Freiburg lads kept themselves in the hunt with a good fight back against Wolfsburg.
Yeah, it was a crazy game because in the first 20 minutes, they could easily have been 3 or 4 down. They had a couple of goals disallowed, one which resulted in then a penalty which was scored, but another goal that was disallowed to make it 3-0, which kept it at 2-0. And then out of nowhere, yeah, Freiburg managed to pull it back with really some really good goals from Lucas Hurler and Roland Salai. And yeah, it was just a great game in the sense that, you know, you don't often see comebacks like that. And I'd written them off after 20 minutes in, 2-0 down, and looking like they were going to get absolutely battered. And yeah, they managed to turn it around. They made a few tactical switches. Freiburg are very, very weak on the left defensively. I think they have Vincenzo Grifo, who's a very creative player, but not the greatest defensive player. And then they have a couple of older, slower defenders on the left hand or the left back position in the left inside centre back. But once they'd solidified that up, and they just really went for it. They pressed high, pressed hard, and they managed to get those two goals and were unlucky in the end not to actually get a winner because Lienhardt missed a very good opportunity late in the game. But yeah, it's another one which sort of just keeps the points ticking over. It was a game against a team who could have pulled away had they won the game as well. So it was impressive for them to get back in. But as we talked about last week, it's one of those weird scenarios where, you know, Freiburg may not want to be going into Europa League because it has such a negative impact on their season when it happened a couple of years ago. So, but I would, yeah, you know, it'd be good for them to finish in the top six, not least because their wage bill is, I think, the second lowest in the league. And so it's just an incredibly impressive performance for them to finish so high up in the league. They have been wildly overperforming their XG and wildly overperforming their defensive numbers when it comes to XG as well. But this is what happens with Christian Streich's teams. And yeah, it's great to see him getting an additional contract or an extension on his contract, so he'll be around for longer. But he is Mr. Freiburg, and he has been running the club well above what and beyond what they should be doing, and it'll be good to see him continuing with them.
I was going to bring that up next, actually. Has there been speculation that he could go elsewhere, or did it always seem likely that he was going to come out?
Yeah, I mean, he's always been at Freiburg, and so I don't think there's really any surprise that he was going to carry on. When he did join them as manager, they did drop down into the Zweite Bundesliga, but they came straight back up as champions the next season, and he's just been around ever since. So, yeah, he gets the club or something, but he's a guy who's lived his whole life there. He played for the club. He's also quite he's quite a balanced guy. He taught as a teacher for a little while as well. He lives in the same flat that he was born in, I think, and grew up in. He cycles to training and, you know, refers to the team, the players on the team as colleagues, and is all very much a community club down there in the southwest of Germany. So yeah, I think it's just an extension that I think everyone expected, and it makes a huge amount of sense. And as long as he's there, I think the club will feel happy that they will continue to stay in the Bundesliga, despite the fact that their budget is just so much lower than everyone else's.
Yeah, I mean, it does always make you wonder if sometimes managers, I think, are just a good fit for the club, aren't they? Mm. And then they go somewhere else and it just doesn't work because the feel isn't right, or like the mix, like it's so difficult to put your finger on. And feels like every week I compare Freiburg to Burnley now, but I wonder if it's a similar situation with Dyche at Burnley now. He's been there a long time, not that long away from being a decade at the club, which is almost unheard of these days. It seems like other clubs have passed up the chance to take a look at him, and you wonder what the natural next step would be. Maybe it's similar to strike at Freiburg.
I don't even think that he would be interested in going elsewhere. And I think that's what's so fascinating about him, is because he's one of these managers. He's a little bit like Marcelo Bielsa in that he recognises the importance of the club to the community that the club is within. Sure. And as a result of that, I think he's just... It's all kind of bundled together. He doesn't distinguish between, oh, this is a football team and this is the place where I live. For him, and I've talked about this before on here, actually, you know, Freiburg is a town of 200,000 people. The stadium fits 20,000 people. So 1 in 10 people in Freiburg is in the stadium every weekend. So everyone in the town knows about what's going on in the football stadium. And so it was just a really refreshing experience to go there and to see how central football is to the community and the socioeconomics of the area. And Rory Smith did a profile on Streich for the New York Times this week, and he was saying that when he was interviewing him, you know, Streich was talking really intelligently about the socioeconomics of the area. We're talking about the history of the club, and everything that he does just seems to be bundled together with that notion that I'm here at the club because this is the community that I live in, and it's an important part of that community.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's Amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'll definitely check that out. I really like Rory Smith's stuff, so that'll certainly be on my list for the rest of the week. We'll move on to the next game that we're going to talk about then. Bayern against Gladbach. Jim, we talked about Bayern not having Lewandowski, not having Müller through suspension. Turns out, didn't need them anyway. Could have done with a few more suspensions, really.
I was gutted watching this game. It feels like just the most missed opportunity. Like, it's, you know, one of those games where you just watch it and you just know that you've missed so many chances that there's going to be a gut punch in it somewhere. Yeah. And it felt inevitable. I mean, the sequence of events that led up to Bayern going ahead in terms of missed chances by Mbolo for Gladbach, then an absolutely brilliant like reflex save from Sommer, and then just some absolute madcap defending. I've got no idea what they were trying to do, and just basically played in Xerxes, who put Bayern ahead. And then Pavard, who's normally so consistent, and I've loved watching Pavard on the occasions that I've seen him, either for France or for Bayern in the last couple of years, like in the Champions League. He strikes me as a super consistent, just brilliant all-round defender, which I guess is why he plays for Bayern. and he put into his own net, again, just kind of, if he'd have gone with his other foot, the cross comes in and he tries to clear it, and he kind of goes with his wrong foot. And it just seems that if he'd gone with his other leg, he might be able to hook it away. But the only thing that was going to happen with the way that he approached it was that he was going to put it into his own net.
Yeah, I think it was one of those, though. The striker was right behind him. So
He needed to do something. Yeah,
otherwise,
to be fair,
it was going to be a goal anyway. Yeah.
Yeah, you can't leave that to go across because otherwise it's a tap in. But yeah, and then Mönchengladbach kind of, it went back and forth a bit in the second half at 1-1 and missed a couple more chances. And then Goretzka just pops up at the end, again, assisted by Pavard, to be fair, which is another gut punch after he puts through his own net and then sets up the winning goal with a nice cross and a kind of deft finish. And yeah, it's Bayern all over, right? It's just the winning mentality where even if you're a goal ahead with 10 minutes to go, you'd never be sure that you were going to beat them because they're just so resilient and good at what they do. I don't know if, you know, it didn't, to be fair, it didn't help that Thuram went off so early. He got injured and went off within 10 minutes, which I think was a huge blow because he's just so powerful, and his kind of direct running style, I think, would have continued to give fighters some problems.
Exactly.
So it was not ideal. Yeah, and Mbola's only just come back from injury as well. So, again, a little bit like the Havertz thing, where is he fully fit? You know, I mean, he was fully fit enough to miss two glaring opportunities in the space of 4 seconds, to be fair, at 0-0. So he certainly had the legs to get into that situation, but just not to bury either the headed chance or the chance that he shanked wide from about 2 yards out. So it was a frustrating evening. And I think the only saving grace from the weekend overall, from Gladbach's perspective, is that Leverkusen dropped points on Sunday to the point where it is still very possible that Gladbach could leapfrog them into that final Champions League spot, because it has seemed a little bit like a seesaw since the resumption of the league, where Gladbach put themselves in a good position one week and then screw it up the next and just go from winning well to shooting themselves in the foot repeatedly. So I'm hoping the seesaw swings back the other way midweek and they can beat Wolfsburg, which is a huge game, fifth against sixth, and then hopefully Leverkusen drop some more points and get back into fourth ahead of the final two games. But yeah, I mean, that could... Yeah, well, hopefully.
not to cut you off, but relatedly, I'm just delighted I haven't seen anybody say that I guess nobody wants that fourth Bundesliga spot the way everybody did with the Premier League last year. Turns out...
I definitely wasn't about to say that.
turns out winning lots of consecutive football matches with a lot of pressure all the time is a little difficult. Looks like maybe that's it. Not that teams are disinterested in trying to achieve career highs.
It'll be great, though. I think if it's still in the balance going into that final round, because they're all played at the same time, I assume that's not changed. I assume that's still the same, where because of the integrity of the competition, I guess they all try and play at the same time. So I guess it'll be like 2:30 on a Saturday UK time. Like, that could be a real back and forth affair with that final Champions League spot and the Europa League spots as well, especially with the potential, like we've said, of Bayern winning the cup and there being a seventh spot as well. Sorry, Kev, that would obviously mean that Leverkusen don't win. But,
sure does.
You know, we've got to be realistic based on your performance against Schalke today. I think avoiding a 5-0 drubbing at Bayern's hands would be a good result at this stage.
I am fully prepared on that last day of the season to be absolutely absolutely fuming over a team that I adopted about a month ago that they might miss out.
Given how Spurs have performed in finals, it would be hilarious if you picked the team that
just misses out on Champions League.
Then lose in a cup final.
Yeah.
It would be remarkably Spursy. I was just looking at the fixtures that all the teams in that sort of situation have to come, and it seems fairly even. Obviously, when you get to this stage, there's some teams that don't have as much motivation. So both Gladbach and Leverkusen play Hertha, who are about as mid-table as you can get at the minute. They started really well, actually, after the resumption, but then they've lost the last two. So games against Hertha could be good ones right now. Should probably talk about Bayern as well, John, as Jim touched on. It just shows that it doesn't necessarily matter who's out there wearing their shirt. They've just got this champion spirit and experience, and they know how to get the job done in these tight games.
Yeah, I'm maybe a little bit critical of Bayern because I think there is an expectation that, you know, Bayern and Dortmund are sort of similarly marquee teams, and Dortmund haven't done enough to challenge Bayern in the last few years, but Bayern really are just sort of leaps and bounds ahead of all the other clubs in the league. And, you know, this is another example of them sort of slowly powering away at the end. They had a poor start to the season under Niko Kovac and changing up the manager, getting Hansi Flick in, and him sort of returning and doing the basic stuff that Bayern teams do well, heavy possession, a little bit of added pressing and in the final third has really helped, and reinventing. We've talked about Thomas Müller a huge amount. Obviously, that's helped as well. And interestingly, I think without Müller and Lewandowski this weekend, you know, Bayern did look a shadow of the team that they had been. I thought it was interesting watching the Gladbach game actually against Bayern, because it showed just how high their defensive line is, and if you can get in players in behind that defensive line and really cause them problems in behind their defence, then you can cause them problems, which might be something to think about when we come up with the Champions League later in the season, whether or not other teams will be able to find that weakness and really skewer it. But yeah, look, Bayern are a great team. I think they're easily the best team in the league and well-deserved winners in this competition. And I don't think anyone is surprised to see them winning the competition again.
Yeah, I was watching this game and I did think it was a shame that Player was missing and Jerome went off. It's like Gladbach's chances were so affected by not having that front two that the whole team is based around how potent they are as a partnership. So I think it was unlucky. And Bayern seemed to keep getting these little chunks of luck. All right, they had two of their own guys out, but when they played Leverkusen, Havertz wasn't available, and when they played Dortmund, Sancho wasn't fit. Like, it just seems to... I'm not suggesting there's anything dodgy going on. It just seems to be a big coincidence that whenever Bayern get these tough games, there's big players out for the opposition.
It would be interesting to talk about something like stereotype threat, which is the concept that, you know, when teams and players expect games to go in certain ways, then they go in that they play in such a way that causes those things to come about. So when players play against Bayern because they expect to lose against Bayern, they're, yeah, they're maybe, and a great example of that yesterday with Sommer messing up and obviously Oscar Wendt as well at the end, I think messing up as well. And I wonder how much of that comes into it. It's the same sort of thing that you saw with Alex Ferguson at Manchester United. You know, these teams get a belief that they're going to win all the time and they're huge, usually helped by the oppositions that they're playing, sort of expecting that to be the case, and so almost making it come about. But there hasn't really been much study on this phenomenon, so I don't know how you would quantify it. But I'm really interested in that sort of idea of stereotype threat, that when you're so traditionally good, teams just can't really face you because you've already got the advantage just because they're psychologically expecting a certain result.
Probably similar in Italy, isn't it, with Juventus as well, how even when they're not playing particularly well, they just seem to get the job done. You wonder if teams feel like they're beaten before the game's kicked off sometimes. Mm. Mm. Looking ahead to midweek then, Kev, we're all assuming Bayern will complete the job. They haven't dropped a point yet since the restart of the season, and their game is against Werder. Is that right? They're playing Werder?
Yeah.
Or Wolfsburg. So obviously Werder have plenty to play for. Oh, Wolfsburg. Yeah, we'll
don't
find
throw
out.
A spanner into them. Yeah, somebody with W is going to turn up.
In green.
But yeah, Werder obviously got something to play for down at the bottom, but it would be a massive surprise if Bayern didn't get the result they need to complete an 8th straight league title. I'm sure when we started the podcast, we were hoping for more of a title race, but you've got to take your hat off to Bayern, really. They've just been so much better than everyone else.
Yeah, I actually thought your Juventus comparison is a really good one, because it seems like every year somebody's challenging them. Like Inter were doing it this year. Napoli obviously did it a couple years there under Sarri. But like, you have to do literally everything perfectly. You can't put a foot wrong. Whereas, you know, Bayern can just steamroll everything seemingly without care. So I thought that was a really good comparison, because obviously...
Thank you.
Yep. Was it last year that Dortmund were leading at the halfway point? And then just weren't able to finish it out. So, yeah, you'd assume, based on that track record, that Bayern will just waltz into where... Nah, that's not going to work. That's a terrible joke. you'd assume that they'll win. Obviously, they'll be getting both Müller and Lewandowski back. Lewandowski still chasing that goal title, as we said. Bayern still chasing that overall goal total, although... just scoring the two versus Mönchengladbach probably didn't do them too many favors. Thanks, Jim. No, just kidding. you'd assume that they're about to win this, especially with the title on the line. You feel like these are the kinds of matches that Bayern just show up for, at least in the league. Obviously, we've talked before about their questionable finals appearances in different competitions. Obviously, the Champions League has proven to be quite elusive for them, but... yeah, you figure with the title on the line, they're just going to win this one with probably relative ease. But as you say, you know, Werder need this very badly, but I could very easily envision kind of a Dortmund-Dusseldorf kind of match here. Except, you know, with Werder probably not having the kind of chances that Dusseldorf had there briefly.
Yeah, it's interesting what you say about staying perfect. Even just looking at the table, you can see why Dortmund and Leipzig haven't been able to have more of a challenge. Bayern have lost four games this season, which for Bayern is probably more than you'd expect over the course of the campaign. Dortmund have only lost five, which obviously includes losing to Bayern. And Leipzig have only lost three. So Dortmund and Leipzig just haven't put teams away when they should have because they've drawn too many games. Leipzig were drawn 11, which is more than anyone in the league apart from Schalke. So if Leipzig had more of a cutting edge, and we said this before, that obviously they're still quite new to the Bundesliga, they don't really have the serial winners in the squad that people like Bayern have, where they've got players who've won the title year in, year out, and just know what it takes to win every game that's tight. But Jim, if you look at the table, Bayern look like they're going to win it by a streak. It doesn't really tell the story of the season, does it? Leipzig were on top for so long. Dortmund have had their moments. And it probably comes back to that Klassiker a few weeks ago where Dortmund just couldn't get the result they needed to keep it alive.
Yeah, talking about John's theory on how teams kind of play themselves into situations because of how they expect games to go based on a stereotype. That, to me, is anecdotal, obviously, and you can't use one game as evidence, but Dortmund were sweeping all before them going into that Klassiker, which is why we were so kind of optimistic, I guess, that there might be a result that meant that there was a really enthralling title race. And they just froze. Like, Haaland had several really, really good chances and just seemed to be snatching at them. Now, again, you can't run that game 1,000 times to see how many times they win it. But the fact is, on the one game that actually exists in real life, they didn't take their chances. And they had plenty of them. They were, up until the final third, they were dominant in that Klassiker for the first kind of 35 minutes, I guess, or 30 minutes. And just couldn't pull the trigger. And at that point, you just let Bayern back into the contest. So it could easily have gone a different way. But again, is that down to how much Bayern just believe that they are going to come out on top? And the kind of, not mental fragility, because it makes it sound like they're bottling it, but it's a, if you're not used to winning in those big moments, how much of a mountain is it to climb compared to when it feels natural to you? And actually, maybe that's where Bayern hold an advantage that's almost unstoppable in those situations, because they're so used to it and they add winners to the squad every year. And they've seemingly made the right change in the dugout as well to keep that winning mentality going. But you're right, it doesn't tell the story of the season. You'd expect Bayern to win it, obviously, but the way it's come about has been maybe a lot more kind of different and a lot more, it's had a lot more twists and turns to it, I guess, than you would normally expect a Bayern Munich title win to have, because we've been just been so used to them dominating from the off in previous years and just kind of just being unstoppable and, as you say, winning it by street.
I suppose what does stand out as well is, as always with Bayern, the consistency.
Yeah.
But particularly since the restart, I think a lot of people wondered what's going to be the impact of having 10 weeks, 12 weeks, whatever it was, away. Obviously, all the stuff around the games, people wearing masks, it must have felt really different for the players. And adapting to this new normal, as everyone goes on about, it must have been tricky. But for Bayern, it just seems to have been absolutely the same. Like, just win every game all the time. Don't seem to have been distracted at all. John, just before we move off Bayern, and this might be a question to revisit later in the season, maybe at the end, but how do you think this Bayern compared to the last few years of Bayern? Are they better in some departments, worse in others? They seem to be more fun to watch than maybe any other Bayern since Guardiola left. Do you think that's fair?
Yeah, I think that's completely fair. Obviously, they had the failed experiment with Niko Kovac, and that sort of coloured everyone's experience of Bayern in recent years. But just looking at the club now, it's just such an exciting team. I've talked about it before, how they've sort of reinvented themselves since Hansi Flick came in. They've gone with having a lot of distribution deep in the team. So Joshua Kimmich and David Alaba, really good distributors of the ball, and then just got really exciting players in forward areas, and it's a team where they just absolutely hammer teams because there's so much attacking potential. They've got decent fullbacks. They've got probably the best goalkeeper in potentially the world. They've got probably the best number nine in the world, given that Harry Kane has gone off the boil a little bit. And so they're just a phenomenally exciting team to watch. They've got some young players coming through. You think of Serge Gnabry. Alphonso Davies, who everyone's loving, Joshua Kimmich again. So there's just so much to like about them, and I think it's hard to be a Bayern detractor at the moment, because they are quite fun to watch.
Yeah, I'm sure we'd have all loved to see a tighter title race, but it's difficult to not say Bayern. Obviously, I don't think the league table lies at this point, but Bayern clearly deserve it. They've been so much better. It's maybe ominous that it looks like they might add Leroy Sané for next season as well, and they've so much potential in attack as it is. You put Sané into that team, it's frightening for, I think, everyone else. Speaking of midweek, then, it is another full fixture, so we will try and get a show out, assuming Bayern do win the league, and we'll look back more on their season. But we'll have a quick preview of some of the other games that are coming up as soon as I've remembered to look at what they are. Bayer Leverkusen at home to Köln. Kev, this is a big game, obviously, in the race for Champions League qualification, and a game that on paper you should get 3 points from.
Agreed. As we all know, GOAT as their logo, Kevin Vimmer played for them. So, you know, we know a lot about FC Köln, number in their name, etc. You'd hope that with Köln, I think you mentioned about Hertha earlier, Köln about as mid-table as they could be, locked in there in 12th. Well, I guess that's lower than it would be in the Premier League, huh? Because 18 teams. But regardless, not really a whole lot to play for. Probably safe. Definitely not getting up into European spots. So you would hope that with Leverkusen fighting for, you know, top four versus Köln fighting for, I don't know, not 13th, it would end up being enough. I think Havertz getting, a fair few minutes under his legs today will hopefully get him back to his best. Maybe start him up front. Like I said, Alario not particularly inspiring today. Voland came on and just kind of a glimpse of the match, so not really favored anymore. Again, continue to be surprised by that, but then I see him play, and then I'm a little less surprised by that. But yeah, you just have to win it, right? If you're Leverkusen, and you know that top four is on the line, as Jim was saying earlier, it just keeps shifting back and forth, so when you have opportunities like this, you need to take it. But I did see one of the Leverkusen fans that I now follow saying that it was kind of typical to lose the match, or not lose, although it felt like it, the draw against Schalke. So maybe that comes into play if there is that kind of club history of struggling with pressure, which can't verify. John did say that Leverkusen were kind of like Tottenham, so maybe a little bit. Yeah. But I think as things currently stand, the defense has been relatively solid, the midfield solid. When Diaby's at his best, I think very hard to defend against. When Havertz is leading the line, I think that causes a lot more issues for defense, at least in the context of this shortened period that, you know, we've been watching and having a show. If Havertz starts up front, I think have a much better chance than Alario, even though I was impressed by him in his last few appearances out.
Yeah, Leverkusen playing Wednesday, but Jim, Gladbach go first this time, so they'll play Tuesday night. Do you think it's an advantage to go first? Does it make any difference? Wolfsburg, difficult opposition as well. They've got the Europa League to try and play for. It's a tough one on paper, this.
Yeah, I'm a bit worried about this game because not only is Mönchengladbach's recent form concerning me, obviously you've got potential injury doubts, particularly Thuram, which is a huge loss if he's not fit to play. But also Wolfsburg are much better away than they are at home this season. So they're in the Europa League mix, and they've got 27 points from 15 away games and 19 points from 16 home games. So you'd rather play them if you're the away team. And actually this game's it's at Gladbach. So I think it's a real potential banana skin because it's the first game of the midweek round as well. It's the early kickoff on Tuesday, so kind of all eyes are on that, this game. And if you don't pick up at least a point, then I guess you're really staring down the barrel, struggling to get up into that final Champions League spot. So yeah, pressure's on, and we'll have to see if Gladbach can deliver. But off the back of two straight defeats, you know, one okay expected against Bayern, but particularly dropping points to Freiburg the week before, you know, it doesn't feel like you go into that game full of confidence, particularly with Wolfsburg being so good away. So yeah, it's going to be an interesting watch, I think.
Yeah, a bit of a wobble from Gladbach recently, so yeah. I can't really afford another slip-up in this one. Jim, Freiburg at home to Hertha. Hertha seem like the sort of team who are maybe, to use an English-type expression, maybe on the beach at this point. But also, I kind of wonder what's going to be the impact of another midweek round, games starting to pile up, players coming down with injuries. For teams that don't really have anything to play for, what's going to be the motivation when there's no fans there? Like, it seems to me that everything is in favour of a game like this, Freiburg winning it, but the other games involving teams in mid-table that don't really have anything to play for either, it strikes me as an opportunity for some quite one-sided matches in the last few rounds.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting. I mean, we say that Hertha have got nothing to play for, but they're only 4 points behind Freiburg, and Freiburg have got a tough run of fixtures coming up. They've got Bayern as well, and I guess Schalke too, who are only just behind them. So with Freiburg, as we've seen since you guys started watching, it's very much a case of take each game as it comes, try and get what you can get out of it. But there is a chance that a couple of the teams that they play could leapfrog them if the results go differently. So I think everyone will probably be up for the games, really. And I mean, for Freiburg, as we've talked about so often, it's a case of, you know, stay in the league, stay in the league, stay in the league. And they've achieved that. They're not going to go down. And so I guess to a certain extent that takes pressure off them. Yes, it would be, I think, nice for them to get into the Europa League again. It will certainly benefit them in terms of revenue. It will give them a little bit more to play with. But I think there's, as far as Freiburg go, you know, it's just a case of they treat every match as an individual match. They want to win every game, and they'll take as it comes. So, yeah, I thought that this period after the loss to Werder Bremen, which on paper was one of the easier games that they should have had, I thought that this period could have been quite tricky for Freiburg, but it's turned out to be quite impressive. And Freiburg have lost, let's not forget, to Werder, Paderborn and Dusseldorf, who are all bang at the bottom. So it's the sort of run of games, actually, that I think Freiburg will really relish. I think Streich is very good at firing them up for these games where they're probably the underdogs. And they'll probably give whoever comes a really good game. So I'm taking them in that sort of spirit. And it'll be great to see them cause problems against these teams. And who knows, maybe they can nick something against Hertha.
It's always interesting for me at this sort of stage of the season where there's teams that don't necessarily have as much to play for. Some teams seem to relish the pressure being off and produce better performances as a result, and others very much, well, the season's finished now, we've done what we needed to do. So it'd be interesting to keep an eye on which teams do that. In the spirit of things, I think Augsburg might be in that sort of category, probably in the group of clubs where staying up is the primary goal. They haven't quite done it mathematically yet, but they're 7 points clear of Fortuna, so they're almost there. Augsburg this week are at home to Hoffenheim. Their last game was defeat against Leipzig, but Hoffenheim very much in that race for Europa League as well. So in terms of motivation, Hoffenheim certainly have more on paper for this one. But we'll see what happens. Maybe I'll not watch it and Niederlechner will score 12 goals or something because he's secretly brilliant but refuses to show me. We'll just have to see how that one goes. But yeah, I think that's it for this week. Like I say, we're going to do a midweek show, but Kev, as always, will tell you how to make sure that you get that.
Yeah, so you can find us on Twitter, obviously, at Bundesliga Pod. You can also follow us or subscribe at iTunes or Acast or Spotify if you would so like. And we would like you to do that, so do it. But yeah, JB, back to you in the studio.
Brilliant. Yeah, so that's it for this week's show. As Kev says, you can get us on Twitter at Bundesliga Pod. Obviously, season coming towards an end, so if you've been enjoying the show or you have any feedback, please do get in touch. You can tweet me individually as well. I'm at Jamie Smith Sport. Kev is at Kevrov. Jim is Jim Knight Tweets, and John is John_McKenzie. I think we're going to record Tuesday, assuming Bayern win the league, so that'll be out for you Tuesday night, wherever you are, or Wednesday, for wherever you listen to the show. But thanks for joining us. I've been Jamie Smith, and we'll catch you again soon. This has been Bundesliga for Beginners. Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.